Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. Well, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, can finally chalk a courtroom win against an employee at a Wall Street bank at the center of the financial collapse. A jury yesterday found a former Goldman Sachs trader, Fabrice Tour, also known as the Fabulous Fab, liable on 6 counts of fraud. The SEC accused him of misleading investors about mortgage securities he knew would fail, and in the process, enrich a hedge fund client of Goldman Sachs. Joining me are Joe Nocera with The New York Times and Heidi Moore with The Guardian. And to both of you, just how important is this verdict?
Well, if you're the SEC, it's pretty darn important. They've waited a long, long, long time to charge somebody and get a conviction for financial fraud dealing with the crisis. It's been many, many years.
Yeah, I would have to say it's also very important. And it's important because it gives the SEC the conviction that they can get more results like this. I mean, for so long, they've been the gang that couldn't shoot straight. And now all of a sudden, they actually have a catch that no one thought they could have.
Well, that's a question. So if they have this victory here, does that give the agency a renewed sense of, let's bring these cases to trial, we can actually win them? We haven't really seen a lot of these sorts of cases go to trial.
Probably not. Actually, because we've come down to the tail end of it. Most of the other people who've been investigated, especially the big boys like Dick Fuld from Lehman Brothers and Angela Mozzillo from Countrywide, those cases are long behind us. Even with Dick Fuld, they didn't even bring a case. There wasn't even a case to bring. So we're at the tail end. It's kind of a victory, but it's a Pyrrhic victory. And also, let's be clear here. Fabrice Tour is not exactly the biggest boy on the block. He was a little guy, a cog in the wheel, and although he wrote a lot of incriminating emails, it turns out, both to his girlfriend and emails internally, which really hurt him.
I will be standing
in the
amid amid the ruin.
Yes, that's what he said. I don't think it has any larger significance.
I think what we've seen is that if you treat the SEC like a baseball player, they still don't have a great batting average. There have been 4 other cases like this, and they have all settled. The SEC tends to love settling. And as a matter of fact, it settled with Goldman Sachs over the same case and allowed Goldman Sachs to argue that they neither admitted nor denied wrongdoing.
Yeah, but if they win a victory like this, does it come back to them and say, maybe we shouldn't let banks or larger institutions settle without actually having a admitting guilt or not? I mean, maybe they actually will get a little bit tougher. We've heard the new SEC chair say that she wants to get institutions to actually admit something when they pay a fine.
I think they would love to do that, but they simply don't have the resources. I mean, really, they're up against – they had to pick a small guy to go up against because he wouldn't have the same kind of defense team that a giant bank would. You know, so those giant banks can spend a lot more money on lawyers, and the SEC just can't catch up with them.
You know, I think the SEC is getting a stiffer spine about forcing them to admit guilt, partly because a federal judge has really slapped them down a few times, partly because there's a new SEC chairwoman. But, you know, going forward, you're still not going to be charging individuals all that often, especially over this series of issues.
Well, when you raise like Dick Fuld, who ran Lehman Brothers, and you have Fabrice Tour, I mean, they're at such opposite extremes.
They sure are.
There's a sense of like, okay, maybe people might feel good that somebody was found accountable for their actions. But are we going after the right person? Is he a scapegoat, or is this really important that we do prosecute people like Fabrice Tour?
He's totally a scapegoat. I just absolutely have
right,
to say.
Right, he is a scapegoat. Right. There were so many other people up the ladder, up the chain at Goldman.
Why weren't those people prosecuted? Why did we not see some of that go through?
Well, I think part of the reason is because Tour uniquely wrote idiotic emails that made him easier to go after. And I think point number 2 was the SEC didn't want to go after 10 or 12 or 15 people. They just felt, I agree with Heidi about the resource issue. So let's pick the one guy we can really use as the poster boy for this and go after him.
It seems like another lesson from this that we continually see, whether it's insider trading or whatever the case may be, email is often what's going to get you in trouble.
These poor guys and their emails, when will they learn not to beat their chests in an email? It's happened time and time again, and it's great because it makes for entertaining reading. So as a journalist, I like the break in my day of reading these hilarious emails from people convinced that they run the world. But the problem with those emails is that very often what they capture is people who are self-aware, right? So they're people who are aware that they're part of a corrupt system or participating in corruption. They're not the, you know, the kind of like greedy, bug-eyed guy guys who just go chasing after the money without thinking.
It's worth pointing out also that there are two different kind of emails that really hurt him. One of the emails that we all remember so fondly, the Fabulous Fab writing to his girlfriend. The other set of emails, however, were emails to the clients. And those emails were, I think, the jury decided, and they do clearly seem to be deceptive in terms of what they're telling the client about who's on which side of the trade. And, you know, I think the jury decided, even putting aside the Fabulous Fab, the guy said stuff in emails that just weren't true. I need to say one other thing. I need to eat some crow because it wasn't all that long ago on this very show when after the government's rocky start in the trial, I said, oh, this thing's a slam dunk for Fabrice. He's going to be off the hook. And I was dead wrong.
Well, everyone actually would have kind of gone on your side.
Thank you, Heidi. Thank you.
It's true. I mean, there were stories about the jury falling asleep. The judge bought the jurors some donuts for which they gave her a note saying she was awesome. So, I mean, this was a really trying trial for those jurors.
Well, in the very little time that we have left, what are the stories that you guys are paying attention to in the weeks ahead? Heidi?
Well, as you know, I'm a fan of the housing crisis, and I think it's interesting to take a look at the ways in which we are building the foundation for another one. So there's a deal. You know how they packaged mortgages during the crisis? There's now a deal where people are packaging rental payments. So without even the approval process of mortgages, they are just putting together a bunch of rental payments on apartments, and they're hoping to break those up and sell them to banks.
I'm sure. Let's hope that turns out well.
Exactly. What could possibly go wrong?
Joe, what are you paying attention to?
Well, I'm watching Facebook stock. You know, after in the months since the so-called fail IPO, the stock has been a laggard. Suddenly, this week, it is flirting with its original IPO price. So it's made almost come all the way back. The reason is because it had an earnings report last week that showed that it's doing exactly what people were worried that it wouldn't be able to do, transitioning well to mobile and even getting a lot of mobile advertising.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at wnyc.org/business. You can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Heidi Moore with The Guardian and Joe Nocera with The New York Times. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.